Tonight we're coming to the book of Matthew again, chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount. I love the Sermon on the Mount. And the reason I love the Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus doesn't bring us to condemnation, but he brings us as Christians to a place where he shows us how we need to live the life of Christ. So here his teaching method would be often a statement, and then he would give the application. And then he gave the illustration. And then he meant that statement and he would follow up in teaching the people that he was teaching. Now I told you that the Sermon on the Mount was not for the body of Christ, for the people, the multitudes. He separated the multitudes and he only asked the disciples to come. And he began to teach the disciples in chapter 5, remember, the Beatitudes. And then this evening he's going to speak about giving. Giving to God. This is one huge problem within every church. And the reason is because people are so in debt and they're afraid to give. One thing that I've learned when I was a heathen, I came to Christ. I used to cheat. I wouldn't give to God, I would cheat it. And then one day the Lord showed me, because the more I was cheating, the more I was losing money. Ever since that time, I would be given to the Lord. And God has never failed. And those lessons that he brings to us, because sometimes we don't have enough money, but if you give to the Lord, that's what you don't have. And a lot of times he's not going to bless you financially, but he'll bless you in other ways. But here Jesus is going to speak on a heavy topic, how to give the right way. Now remember this, in the book of Haggai, in the Old Testament, the people, they were in Babylon, they were released, about 48,000 came back to Jerusalem. And when they got there, they began to work the land. They began to build these beautiful homes. And they would take their money and put them in bags and hide them in the ground. And the Lord warns them, he says, consider your ways. He says, the more you hide, the more I'm going to take from you. And he did. When you don't give to God, he'll take it from you in so many other ways. He says, take heed, listen, that you do not do your righteous deeds before men to be seen by them. Then he says, what? Otherwise, you have your reward from your Father in heaven. So here he speaks about a practical righteousness or uprightness that shows itself in doing what is right. And what were they doing here? He was teaching about giving. If you don't give to God what belongs to God, in the Old Testament, God would say, okay, you give me 10%. And if you would borrow from the Lord, he would make you pay back 20%. 20%. And if you give sacrificially, it's cool because it's not 10%, 20%, it's your heart. How much do you want to give to the Lord sacrificially? That which you don't have is sacrificial to God. Sacrificial to God. And here God is talking to the disciples, his people, his own disciples, he's talking to them. Because number one, notice, make sure that it brings glory to God when you give to God. Don't let people know what you're giving. Never. I've never counted money in this church when I started money. Never had anything to do with money. God called me to teach. God called me to preach the gospel. And what I see constantly, you know, is that God not only speaking to people, but people are not listening to what God says. Because when you give willingly and hilariously to the Lord, look what he says, it brings glory to God. Glory to God. Secondly, you have to be careful not to bring attention to yourself. Attention to yourself. Well, you know what? I gave so much this week, and look how much God, you know, has given me back, and next week I'm going to give back more. You don't have to tell, and you shouldn't tell anybody. You should only bring it to the Lord. God knows how much you're giving. And thirdly, what is your motive in giving? Am I giving so God can give me more money? Or are you giving in obedience to the word of God? That's important. Giving to God by obedience to God. Not keeping what God has given to me, but giving it to him. Because he says, again, in verse 1, watch what he says, second part. He says, otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. No reward will be given to you. God will blow away your reward because you're boasting. You cannot boast on what you give to God, and you give privately and secretly unto the Lord. And God will bless you. I promise you, He will bless you. But that's the way God works within our lives. Verse 2, He says, therefore, what I just said, I want you to pay attention. Notice this. The wrong way to give to God. Therefore, when you do, notice, when you do a charitable deed or when you give, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. I've been in banquets in times past where they have a banquet, and then after the banquet, the guy gets up to speak, and they're going to talk about how they need to build this church or build this building or, you know, for missions, whatever. And then they say, okay, you guys, how many of you are going to give tonight? Stand up and give. Somebody gets up, I'm going to give $1,000. Somebody has $100, $50. Jesus said, don't do that. Don't do that. When you give to God, give privately. And God will honor you. These guys, the Pharisees, what they were doing is that there were people that were not only watching them, and they were bringing glory to themselves in giving to God, and God wasn't counting it. Remember the lady they had one night, and the disciples were standing back, and the Pharisees, they had like trumpets that were actually offering boxes. And the Pharisees would come up, the leaders, and they would go, look how much I'm going to give, and they put the money in. And Jesus said to his disciples, as a little old lady walked up and put a mite in the box. And Jesus said, you see that little old woman? She has given more than these guys that put all their money in there. Because she did it privately and she gave all that she had. Do you do that? Do you give to God all that you have? If you really want God to bless you, I'm not going to say financially, but you want to have a Christian life that is a blessing, where God not only will speak to you, God will use you in such a powerful way because He sees your obedience to Him. Not to the pastor, not to the church, but you're being obedient to the Lord to get the gospel out. How sad it is that churches can't get the gospel out. And look what he says again in verse 2. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, you give by help, by love. Do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do. In the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory from men, assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. They have no reward from God. They do it for themselves. To bring attention to themselves. Look what he says in verse 3. But when you give, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Your left and your right, don't let anybody know what you're doing with it. Your giving is privately and in secret. Privately and in secret. Giving to God is between you and God. You give to God what belongs to God. And the Bible says this, Jesus said, you give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, paying your taxes, and you give to God what belongs to God. Read it for yourself. Jesus said that to Peter. You give to God what belongs to God, and you give to the government what belongs to the government. And yet, how many people rob the government? Sometimes when I go to these restaurants, they don't take credit cards, they want cash. And you know what they're doing. They're stealing from the government. From the government, they're stealing. Because if you're going to have an honest business, you're going to give receipts. You're going to give receipts. You're going to keep records, cash and checks, or credit cards. So when the government, You know, at the end, you have to pay taxes. You pay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. So pay to Caesar and pay to God what belongs to God. That's the way to do it fully, completely. So here we see what he's saying, that we need to give. The giving is between you and God. And then think about this. Think of the interest you're paying on your credit cards. Think about it. When that can be going to God. Giving to God what belongs to God. Because a lot of people, not only are they in debt, but they never want to be obedient to God's word. What belongs to God belongs to God. What belongs to you belongs to God. That's the way it works. And I thought about this. Can you imagine God lets you keep 90% and he only wants 10%? There's been in the past business people that have given 90% to God and kept 10% because blessed financially so much. So much. They have so much money. And imagine people today. It's so sad to see that the church cannot do missions. That they cannot build their churches. They can't really do anything to be on radio, to be you know, in the mission field, or to be on TV to preach the gospel, the real gospel, to reach your nation, to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Verse 4. That your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret, he himself will reward you openly. Openly. Openly he'll reward you. Isn't that cool? I mean, he can bless you financially. He can give you a house. He can give you a car. He can give you whatever. Or he can just give you his love, his mercies. But when I read the book of Haggai, it really ministered to me. That the people were keeping everything for themselves. And God says, from now on, the more you put in, the more I'm going to take from you. And that will happen today too. And maybe it's happening to you already. You can't play games with God. You give to God what belongs to God. And you know that we don't talk about money in this church, but when we come to the scriptures, man, I'm going to beat you up with it. Because it's in the Word of God. Now, how to pray right, the right way, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love praying standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. By men. Man, how many times I've seen people, they want to bring attention to themselves and they pray out loud. I've been in restaurants. You know, they don't know who I am, but they're Christians. And they're sitting down, they'll pray, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this food. You know, and you're like, oh my goodness, man. You know, you pray, but you pray so that people don't get stumbled. You're praying to God. You're asking and thanking God for what he's given to you. And again, this is not the Lord's Prayer. Because when we see our Father, which chapter we have pretty soon, it's a model prayer. If you want to read the real Lord's Prayer, chapter 17 of John's Gospel, when you go and read it. So here we see here that this is the wrong way to pray. And when you see in the corners, this was done by the Pharisees to impress people how they were so spiritual. How they were so spiritual. That happens in the church a lot of times too. We need to be careful not to bring attention to any one of ourselves as a family of God. We need to bring attention not to no one, but we give all the glory and all the honor to Jesus Christ. He goes on, assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. Second time he says that they have their reward. They get nothing. Verse 6. But you, speaking not to us, but you, when you pray, go into your closet. And when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Isn't that cool? Openly. You see, prayer is personal. It's between you and God. You and God. So this is the right way to pray. And here when he says shut the door, it's suggesting the utmost secret place. The utmost secret place where nobody can bother you. Nobody can bother. You know what my secret place is? Take a walk. Nobody can talk to me. Being alone with God. You want to be alone with God so that God can speak to you. You want to be alone with God because you want God not only to use my life, but I want to know God's perfect will in my life. God's perfect will is important in my life. And here the Pharisees did not do that because the Pharisees always wanted to impress people. Verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions. Notice that. Hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Don't do that. He says repetitions as the heathen do. As the heathens do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words, for their much speaking. You see, it's not the length of your prayer. It's the heart. It's your heart before God. The true heart, God hears. But not the heart that's bringing attention to itself. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer not only is talking to God, but what? But laying our hearts before the Lord. Lord, here's my real heart. I'm praying because this is my real heart. Verse 8. Therefore, because of this, every time therefore, he says, pay attention. Do not be like them. Who's that? The Pharisees and the scribes. For your Father knows the things that you have need even before you pray. Now listen, you guys, look what he says. He says he knows before you pray, he already knows what you need. So if he already knows what you need, then why are you having anxiety? Why are you worrying? You pray, you leave it in, at his feet, and you wait upon God's perfect timing, and he will do exactly what he wants, not what you want. And then God will do a tremendous work in my life. This is why he says, for your Father knows the things that you have need of, whatever your need be here tonight, before you ever ask him. Verse 9. And then in this manner, pray. This is not the Lord's Prayer. This is a model prayer. If you want to write that down, it's a model prayer. He says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven. What does that speak to you about? Relationship. He starts with the relationship. Now let me ask you, when you start praying, do you start asking God, Lord, I want, I need, or do you start with the relationship? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Or Lord, I love you and I praise you and I worship you. Start with worship and really praying to the Lord, starting a relationship with God. Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. The name of Jehovah, the name of Jesus, the name of Yahweh. All these names, the name Adonai, all these names which are from the Lord, they're Jesus, God the Father. Imagine when we pray knowing that holy is your name. We don't take the name of God in vain. We have to be careful. How many times you hear people say GD, you know? People do that all the time. And I tell people, hey, do you know what you're saying? You're speaking against God's name. You're damning God, and yes, he's going to damn you if you don't stop. We have to be so careful with our words, with our heart. And when you hear people, you know, that are cursing and damning God, pray for them that God will show them that they're doing wrong. I mean, you hear it all the time, people cussing all the time. You know what's been so cool surfing at San Onofre? Yesterday we were surfing in the morning. And this guy that is a Christian, he goes to John Randall's church. And he says, hey, see this kid that I brought? He's 14 years old and he's homeschooled. Can you go talk to him? So I pedal over there, and he's right there. I say, hey, how you doing? What are you doing? He said, well, I'm just getting to surf. And he says, are you going to school? He said, oh, no, I'm homeschooling. And then I give him my testimony. His mother called yesterday. She had to go on the internet because she didn't know Calvary Chapel to find me. She calls me and says that her son was really impressed, and he came home different. Today, her son called me at 4 o'clock. He asked me a bunch of questions, and I send them my movie, the documentary, and I send them a Bible. Hey, you never know how you're going to minister to people. This is before God. Every person that serves with us, we've never, in the last 12 years, we've never heard them cuss in front of us. And I never told them as a pastor. They found out. One of the guys that's always fighting other people. One day when I got out of the water by the shower, his name is Jim. He said, "Hey, are you on the radio?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "I heard you the other day." I said, "Awesome." It's so cool because you never know what people are going to do. And the same with you. People are watching, your family's watching you, people at work, people at school, at the gym. Wherever you go, people are watching your conduct. They're watching your speech, what you're saying, the kind of stickers you put in back of your car. Very, very careful your license plate. What does it say? I mean, it's very important. If you're going to call yourself a Christian and you're a real child of God, then you need to be careful. Because God wants you to be, notice, a true Christian. Verse 8 again. "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that I have need before they ask him." Verse 9, "In this manner, therefore, pray," and again, "our Father." And then verse 10, he says, "Your kingdom come." Notice, we're praying for the kingdom of God to come. And then what? "That your will be done." Mark that. Petition for God's kingdom and petition to do God's will. God's will is so important. He says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." As it is in heaven. And then he says, petition not for what? For provision. Notice the steps. "Give us this day our daily bread." Notice daily, not monthly, not yearly. Day by day. I love that. We live day by day. This is the petition, the way we pray to God for provision. Now watch this. He now starts, he says, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Notice that. As we forgive our debtors. When you think about forgiving, do you have something against a person? If you have something against a person, then go to that person and tell them you're sorry, but really mean it. Pray to God to give you life for that person. I've had in my heart for people that I didn't like, people that I started hating. And God would speak to me, says, "Hey, how can I bless you? How can I speak to you when you're not willing to speak to those people and go there and repent and say that I've been wrong?" Among families, family members, friends, and out there enemies. And check this out. This is real important. He says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And then he says again, "And do not lead us into temptation." Now he speaks about getting tested. Getting tested. "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from all evil," or from the evil one. Who's the evil one? Satan. "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. So be it." Short little model prayer. But check this out. Here it comes. Verse 14 and 15. Look what he says. Important for Christians. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Underline that. You will not receive forgiveness unless you're forgiven. Unless you're forgiving other people. And that's really important. Because here Jesus wants to make sure that you understand. If you want to look at a parable, look at Matthew 18, 21 through 35 on forgiveness. Unforgiveness. You'll blow your mind. So this is not only a warning, but God is saying, "I want you to do this." If you're a child of God, you have to be loving and forgiving. And I'm talking to myself, not just to you. I have to practice what I preach. And you have to practice what you preach. So this is real important. Now watch verse 16 to 18. Fasting. Do we have to fast? Well, the law of Moses called for one day of fasting a year. Leviticus 16, 29 to 31. We're now in the New Testament. And a lot of times people don't eat because they want to look good. They lose weight. They want to look good. But if you really want to fast, then what is fasting for? Well, notice what he's going to say here. This is the third issue. Because fasting, first of all, is a private thing you do between you and the Lord. Between you and God. Between you and the Lord. He says this, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites. No, underline that. Do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Now, what you don't want to do, you're fasting, and somebody says, you want a piece of cake? No, I'm fasting. Shoot, eat the cake, you know? But you don't tell me, oh, I'm fasting today, I can't eat the cake. Just eat it and then suffer the consequences. No, I'm just kidding you. Now eat it, and then you can, you know, you can fast again. But don't be like a hypocrite, say, no, I'm fasting. He says, that sad face, you know, you put on and they go, man, what's wrong with him? He's fasting. Here's the right way, verse 17. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Anoint your head and wash your face. So you look normal. You look normal when you fast. And then verse 18. So that you do not appear to men to be fasting. There it is. But to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Notice what he says. I do it for God. I don't do it for myself or for people. So important to get what Jesus is saying here so that we can be spiritual people, not carnal people. And then, verse 19, do not lay up for yourself treasures on the earth. Notice what he's saying here. How many treasures do you have on this earth? Where are your treasures? Where are your treasures tonight? Do not lay up for yourself treasures on the earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and they steal. I mean, whatever it is that you're storing away, and this was my grandmother, my grandpa, or this is, you know, you have it in a pleasure place, somebody breaks into your house and they take it. We need to understand that the things that we have today are temporal. Temporal, not eternal. You know, when you die, you can't take nothing with you. Nothing. You leave it for everybody else to enjoy. Hey, awesome, they left it all to me. You know? And if you're going to leave when you die, make sure you make a right stand and make sure you use wisdom. Don't leave it to somebody that's going to misspend it or is going to destroy their lives. Be careful how you leave it. God gave it to you. So be a good steward of what God gave to you. Don't be a bad steward. So here he says tremendously of a treasure. Verse 20. He says, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, underline this, for where your treasure is, there is your heart. There is your heart. Pretty heavy. The true way to give to God, where your treasure is, your heart is also. And I thought about this because we're investing not into the stock market, we're investing to the Lord. To the Lord. There's always, notice, no interest. It's always there, never going to lose it. But here on the earth, you know, you have the stock market, they went down, tomorrow it goes up and goes down again. You know, and we invest, but there's nothing wrong with that. I invest too. But if I put my confidence in my money, in those things that I invest, my house, my car, and all these things, then how can I really come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to invest into your kingdom when I am an idol worshiper? I worship money. I worship money and I don't worship the Lord. And Jesus, you're going to see in a moment what he's going to say. You're going to get blown away. Verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. And therefore your eye is good, he says, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, Your whole body will be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Wow. That's pretty heavy. The way we live. In the light or in darkness. Do people see the light or do they see the darkness in our life? And then get this, verse 24, here it is. No one can serve two masters. No middle ground here. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Money. Or anything else that you worship. That you serve. These are the words of Jesus. So you do whatever you want with them. So important that you understand tonight what God wants you to do. In serving him for the Lord, serving in ministry, or serving wherever God calls you to do, and to do it with all your heart, and not to expect anything in return. And it's amazing when you really expect how God blesses you. How God blesses you because you're being obedient by faith to do what God said to do. Then verse 25. Therefore, another important thing I say to you, do not worry about your life. So this is going to be now for all of us. Because if you don't worry, then you're lying. Okay? Therefore, I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body. He says, what you will put on your dress. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And then check this out. He's teaching about anxiety. Anxiety will enslave you and anxiety will plague you. Verse 26. Look at the birds, he says, of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And do you ever see your backyard, the little birds coming along, the sparrows? I mean, God has made them to feed on a fig tree or among worms, whatever it is. If he provides for the birds, aren't you more important than birds? Of course we are. Of course we are. He loves you. He cares for you. He's going to supply your needs. He says, again, verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valued than they? Are you not more of value than they? Jesus here is asking this question. I cannot answer for you. I answer for myself. You answer for yourself. Again, are you not more valuable than the birds? Verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add 18 inches to his stature? When you worry, are you growing more? Are you getting taller and taller? And then you say, man, that person really worries. Look at tall. Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. Who takes care of them? God brings rain. The wind, God takes care of every, even nature. Verse 29, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not dressed like one of these. And now if God so clothed the grass or the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And then he says, oh, you of little faith. Mark that. The problem is faith. We don't believe. We don't trust God. We don't trust God. He said, but my rent is due the first, you know, and I don't have it. Trust in God. Have faith in God. He knows you need rent money. He knows everything about you. But you're going to get to a place where you're going to blow your mind. Why sometimes God doesn't give you what you're asking for? Okay, verse 31 again. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? 32. For after all these things, the Gentiles, the heathen seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Underline that. He knows what you need. But it has to be aligned with His perfect will. With His perfect will. It has to be aligned. Here is the key that I want you to circle. The priority, the key to everything we do. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Mark it. Is God first in your life? In his righteousness, by faith we come. And all these things will be added to you. Isn't that amazing? Everything will be added unto you according to God's plan. The relationship that I have with God, the relationship that is given between me and him, because I love him, because I spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer. And when I go out to work, wherever I go, he's with me. He leads me, he guides me, he provides for me. And how can I complain? If God is for me, who's going to be against me? Seriously. He gives you more on worrying in chapter 6 than there's anywhere else. Verse 34. Therefore, again, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about their own things. Sufficient for the days of its own trouble. So he's saying, look it, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow takes care of itself. But if tomorrow takes care of itself, then don't you think it's sufficient that every day God will take care of every problem that we have? Of course he will. Why? Because he loves us. So please put your trust in Jesus Christ. Give to God what belongs to God. Don't steal from God, because he'll take it from you. Father, thank you so much for your love, for your grace, for your mercies. Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit for these wonderful people, Lord God, that come faithfully to hear your word. Lord, I pray for their needs financially, spiritually, emotionally, whatever their needs may be, God. Lord, for their children, for their grandchildren, for those young men and young women, their adults, Father. Father, I ask you, I beg you, Lord God, to be with us, God. That you baptize us with the Holy Spirit and power tonight, Jesus. And Lord, we pray for every country, every nation. Lord, that the gospel would get out. And Lord, I pray that you would double our radio stations, Lord God, to reach people by teaching them the word of God, Jesus. And Lord, for missions, Father, for taking care of the church here, and Lord, for whatever else you want to do, Lord God, we pray and we ask you, Jesus, that you touched us tonight, Lord. We give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,